Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Back here on the morning shift and in our 7 o'clock hour, it is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. The draft will be here before you know it, which sounds crazy to say, but once we get out of the January, which is the longest month in all the months, then.
It definitely feels like it.
This month lasts forever.
Yes, 31 days.
No, but it's actually 500 days.
I said that same thing to Bull on Monday when we got in here. I was like, dude, we've been in January for 2 years. And it always feels like that because there's so many events in November and December and everything's happening and there's like football on every day and then all of a sudden it's just gone. And then you're just like, oh, okay. What time do the Hawks tip tomorrow? You know, and it just goes away suddenly. So
it just hit me like a few days ago. I was like, man, it's still January.
I think you posted on something like Instagram or something, yeah. And I saw it, and he had said something, and I wasn't even thinking about it, and I was like,
now it's in your head.
Yeah, they're not wrong. It does feel long. I always thought February was kind of the worst month because football officially ends, but then NASCAR starts like a week later, and it's really normally it's like the coldest month, but this year January's been so cold. That
it has been.
It has made it feel a lot longer. It just felt a lot. I agree with you. You guys have been right this year. Normally it's February for me, but this year, definitely January.
So once we get through this, then the draft will be here before you know it. And it has everyone thinking here, who are the Falcons going to take? And will it be an edge rusher?
At this point?
You're not willing. You said it yesterday.
Yeah. Mike, I did this proclamation yesterday. I'm only going to tell you the day of the draft, the guy I want and I would draft if they're at 15. And I'm not going to say what I think they're going to do. I'm not going to say what I guarantee they're going to do. And I'm not going to say I'm going to be mad if they don't do it, because then I'll just be mad most likely Friday, because I have kind of been wrong for 4 or 5 years in a row now because I'm going by what I want. And it's exactly what Charles Davis told us earlier. But every time I do an interview and it's about the Falcons, yeah. I know, hey, what edge rusher can we get? And to answer that, Tiffany, I'll take the best defensive player there. I don't care who they are.
How many times have we said that now? I mean, this will be our third draft coming up that we've been doing this show. And both years, I've been like, best defensive player available, whoever it is. And it just, for whatever reason, has not panned out that way for the Falcons brass, man. So, we'll see.
So, you guys threw out a couple names when we were talking with Charles Davis earlier. Obviously, NFL analyst for CBS and NFL Network. He's holding it down in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl this week. So he's getting a firsthand look at some of the guys that are there. A guy that you did bring up, Bo, was defensive end Mike Green from Marshall. Let's take a listen to what Charles had to say about.
I think that you nailed the scouting report from my perspective. So, you know, I'm no one to grade anyone, believe me. But I love everything you said about him. You know, he played around 230, 231, you know, that sort of a deal when he was at Marshall. And that first step was devastating. You know, exactly what you're talking about. If you don't get your hands on him fast, and not just get your hands on him, you got to get your hands on him with some force. Because if you don't, you're not going to turn him. You're not going to alter his path. And he's going to go right by you, as you mentioned. He's going to go right through you at times. He'll surprise you with a bull rush. But he came here at 251. And so you always worry just a little bit. Ooh, that's 20 pounds. Is it good 20 pounds? Is he carrying it well? Well, we watched him yesterday and he looked like he was 231. So everything that you said, I'm co-signing on. He's a terrific player. And he was a finalist for the Ted Hendricks Award, which is the top defensive end in the country.
You know, what's interesting about him, and he kind of brought this up, that some of these guys, and there was a lot of Senior Bowl opt-outs, you know, this year. There's some, you know, a couple of guys from Georgia and other places that are like, nah, we're good. Well, he brought up something that I had not remembered from my time. Like, when I got to training for the Senior Bowl, I had been done with football for like 3 days, 2 days. I'd gotten back from Pasadena, took one day off, then went straight to training down in Pensacola, down in Gulf Breeze at the Andrews Institute. And there were guys that had already been there at that point for like 2 months. Some of the FCS guys. I remember there's a guy from like South Dakota State that had been there for a long time. And so when he brought up that and about gaining weight, about gaining the 20 pounds, that was immediately what I thought about. Remember, Marshall opted out of their bowl game. They didn't play in their bowl game. They didn't have bowl practices. They had a number of guys transfer, and they were like, all right, we're good. I know they got a fine for that or whatever else came along with it, but I did think about that, and Tiff, you can answer this question probably as good as anybody. Can you gain 20 pounds of good weight in that time frame? Like, if you're not practicing for a month and a half, is it possible for that to be good weight? 20 pounds is a lot.
If you're not practicing and you're lifting and eating, then yeah, some people might consider that like a major like bulk.
Right.
So yeah, that it is possible to do, and obviously they have like the top of the line trainers, just like you can drop the weight that fast. Like I had a hoops game, Hampton and Howard played, and one of the kids at one of the schools, I can't remember, it escapes my brain, but he weighed like, I don't know, let's say it was like 280 or something coming in. They're like, hey, you're not going to touch a basketball at all. You're going to be here in the gym just running sprints. Yeah. So you can get the weight off that fast just as much as you could pack a muscle. I mean, who knows with all the science out there? There's recomposition of the body. There's all this kind of stuff that can happen.
Well, I think dropping it becomes easier than adding it in that perspective. Maybe I'm wrong, though.
But if you're eating, like, they'll have guys eat, like...
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And everything I'm seeing is he was at around 245, 248. And I'm not saying Charles is wrong. Charles, I'm sure, has done his research, and he's talked to him. And because those guys doing interviews, and so that is a little bit of a flag for me, because a guy that's 230 being a little bit light in the rear like that, playing defensive end in the NFL, if guys do get hands on you, even tight ends are bigger, faster, stronger in the NFL. And that was one of the things that stood out to me, was I thought for the most part he did a pretty good job in the run game. Especially when he was unblockable, when a tight end was on. Everything I saw when a tight end tried to block him, he stood the tight end straight up, slight shove back, and then was able to shed and whichever way he needed to go to get the play made in the run game. That really impressed me. He's got a super quick step. He's got the swim move. Charles mentioned he's got a little bit of a bull rush. And I think, and Mike, you can speak to this. There were times where I saw offensive linemen, I don't know if they were slow to react because he was quicker than they thought, or they were just slower with their getting their hands extended to kind of get that initial punch on him. But every time they weren't quick, he was by them.
Yeah.
And let me just ask you, what was the time frame again that you said with the weight gain?
I don't know, 6 weeks, I'm just guessing.
Oh, 6 weeks?
Yeah, that's I would, from the end of their season, and then they opt out of the bowl game, and then you show up at the Senior Bowl. That's
So November.
Roughly.
November.
Well.
So you're either getting that.
Yeah. They had to have played in their conference championship, right? That would have been the first week.
Did they play?
I think they did, yeah. I think they were conference champs.
And you would have to assume he's doing something physical. Like,
yeah, yeah. I just, like, is it good weight is the only thing. Like, is it good? And listen, I come from a place where my weight fluctuated a ton. And I think that when you get out of these programs and get out of these systems, a lot of times you go to these personal trainers. They can specialize. Obviously, when I was training, it was like, how many calories do we want to intake? What kind of lifts do we want to do? Do you want to bulk? Do you want to slim? Do you want to cut? Do you want to like this, that, and the other? I mean, I had a guy that I know very well that from the time we went to the Senior Bowl, in between the Senior Bowl and the combine, dropped 16 pounds. But part of that, he got a colon cleanse. Like, he got a colon cleanse. And he was like, look, I was a little bit heavy at the Senior Bowl. I need to drop some weight. There's a couple of red flags popping up. I'm going to go get a colon cleanse.
Because that's not a red flag.
Yeah, a little bit of a red flag. A little bit heavy down at Senior Bowl. He goes and gets the colon cleanse. And everybody at the combine is like, wow, he really did come around on that. Good for him. He was able to get the weight back in check. So, I don't know, like 20 pounds, if that's what he was at in, you know, early December to now, that's a little bit, that's tough, man. You're getting after it. Like, you're eating, you know, very clean proteins, and you are pounding the weights if you're gaining 20 pounds, you know, just very cleanly.
All right, well, let's get Charles's take on another guy, Walter Nolan from Ole Miss.
I think he's going to be he's got a very good chance of being a first-round guy. I think most people, when they start ranking players, you know, whether you do a top 20, a top 30, a top 40, a top 50, whatever it is, he's going to be in the 20s. It would be my estimation, somewhere in that neighborhood. Some may have him a little bit higher. Some may have him a little bit lower. His production numbers are not what you expect, quote-unquote, when we turn on, you know, when we start researching people. But when you watch him come off the ball, elite get off, quick first step, as we talked about with Mike Green, got some power in his hands to shock an offensive lineman, and good movement skills. And we saw that yesterday. He was that kind of the one that no matter who you were looking at on the defensive front, when he was there, his jersey would flash first, you know, when the ball was snapped. So you really like what you're seeing from him. Texas A&M transfer to Ole Miss. And keep an eye on him. He's the type of guy that I think that a lot of people are going to like. Would not surprise me at all to hear his name called first round.
He's been standing out at the Senior Bowl, so.
Yeah. Well, to me right now, because we're talking about 15, it's not like, look, and that's what you kind of have to take into context when we talk about these guys. It's like, where are they projected? What other teams could jump up in front of you? Walter Nolan would be available at 15. And right now, watching his tape, watching that, because he's right. Charles is right. It's not, his numbers don't pop out. But it's because he is an A-plus run disruptor as far as displacing offensive linemen and putting them in the backfield, the power in his hips. He's the draft apple of my eye right now. Like, that's the best one that I've looked at and been like, oh, man, can you imagine that guy on the defensive line of the Atlanta Falcons just absolutely destroying double teams in the run game? It's something they need desperately.
He's very strong at the point of attack off the snap. I mean, you mentioned it. We watched it together how strong he handled those double teams. He ate them up, and I actually loved his pursuit. You know, yeah. even when he's penetrated and at times fought through a double team, so he's kind of late to get through. But as he gets through, he never quit. We saw him make a couple of plays off of that because, you know, just the way the plays will sometimes funnel, and you can get there from the backside if you're still pursuing. He didn't quit on plays. He looked good, and he didn't. And I mean, okay, you want to talk about we get Georgia player? I watched this guy abuse the interior of Georgia's offensive line in some of the tape we watched. And if you watched the game, you probably saw that too. Now, this wasn't Georgia's best offensive line, but there's still 4 and 5 stars all across that line that couldn't handle him.
Yeah, he's pretty unbelievable on the film we watched. I think he's got another gear that he will hit very quickly in the NFL.
Is there a Seahawks reunion going on in Las Vegas? We'll tell you who could be possibly joining Pete Carroll when he steps up to coach the Raiders this season. That's next when we go in the huddle in the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Coaching.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carousel continues as the Saints are still looking to hire a head coach, while other teams are already filling vacancies for their OC positions as well as defensive coordinator positions. And we can look at the Raiders because Pete Carroll might be reuniting with Daryl Bevel. He is currently the Miami Dolphins quarterbacks coach and passing game coordinator. But if you recall, he was Pete Carroll's offensive coordinator during their Super Bowl appearances in 2013 and 2014. He actually held the role from 2011 to 2017. So possible reuniting in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it seems like you know, this is one of those moves that probably will or need to happen. Pete Carroll's one of those guys that likes to keep people around him that you know, that he's dealt with well in the past. And obviously, when you have a track record with some of these guys, and it's a pretty good place to be a passing game coordinator these days, to be the, you know, be part of your list. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what the future, immediate future holds for Pete Carroll. And he's come out and said very blatantly that this is not a rebuild, that I'm ready to hit the ground running right now, that we are going for it right now. So this seems like a move that you do whatever's necessary to kind of make because he trusts him to get it done right now.
Yeah. And, you know, Pete Carroll brings something that team hasn't had in a very long time. You know, just not only stability, but the energy, the attitude, the winning attitude, right? Just this belief system. I'm not knocking Antonio Pierce or, well, just Antonio Pierce, the other guys I don't really care about, but I'm not knocking them, but it's just different. It's a different vibe.
They didn't have a quarterback. Like I am. Just
well, that was an organizational decision.
You know,
where was Antonio Pierce in that decision?
Yeah,
I would like to think that he had a say in that. I would like. Now I'm
you
not saying
like
he did.
To think. Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of their things. And you know, now that Tom Brady's involved, that's going to be one of the first things they want to fix. Now,
a lot of Super Bowl rings in that building.
Where do they look to fix it?
Yeah.
And there's talk that Russell Wilson had wanted to go to the Raiders last year, but didn't. Would he be willing to go there? Would they bridge that with Bevel and Russ and Pete Carroll? Because Russ is going to be a free agent and somehow backed his way into a Pro Bowl, which apparently the whole league does these days, but.
Well, just bring on the Seattle reunions. Here's Pete Carroll on a potential one with Russell Wilson.
We're just in the midst of just trying to, you know, find the puzzle pieces, not even putting them together yet. So I can't even say. I mean, guys are still – free agency hasn't come yet. That's the first competitive opportunity that will occur. And then the draft is coming. You know, we'll have that opportunity to do things. I can't tell you right now. I mean, I could guess, but it would just be a guess. So – but – I promise you, if you're a real competitor, you're not letting options get away from you. So we're going to consider every option as a possibility.
Yeah, Denver's not paying him anymore, right? Like, they're done with that. Is that right?
I don't think so. I think they might have. I think
still have another year?
I think they might be still getting a cap hit. No, they didn't. They took it all in 1 year, so they did last year.
Which is smart.
So, but it was already paid to him. It was just, He'll get regular money this year.
I'm curious to see what that is. What's regular money for Russell Wilson? You know what I mean? Is it Derek Carr money? Is it $30 million? Is it Baker Mayfield money?
I don't think Russell Wilson has played.
Careful what you say here.
He was good early when he started last year, but it definitely went downhill. I mean, they lost six straight games, and he wasn't great during a lot of that. So was Snoop Huntley one year.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that, like, it's at quarterback, the Pro Bowl is just means less these days because nobody ever goes.
Well, and you're not actually quarterbacking, right? You're just doing throwing competition. So I don't know. We'll see.
So yeah. I'm looking at CBS Sports right now, and this article is by Cody Benjamin, and the title of it, the headline, is 2025 NFL QB Matchmaker. And so he says Sam Darnold to the Jets, Kirk Cousins to the Browns. What do you all make of Kirk Cousins? Ending up in Cleveland.
I just don't see how that's possible, financially speaking, for Cleveland. I mean, they're not cutting Deshaun Watson, guys. They've already restructured his contract. His cap hit, it would be enormous if the dead cap would be enormous if cut. He's taking up, I think, at least $40 million.
Well, wouldn't they owe him something here? I guess the point that Cody's making in this is that quarterbacks, I guess, aren't going to command a ton of money. Like, basically, they're not going to have to probably pay him a lot if they could just get him on a 1-year rental, is how he kind of phrased it.
So he would have to be cut here.
Yeah, he'd be the same situation as Russell
and
Wilson.
They're kind of refusing Atlanta. I'm not saying they're refusing, but they have pretty much said, no, we're not going to cut him. We're going with him back unless he demands it. And then I think they would try to trade him and say, well, no, but he has no trade.
But I was going to say, let me push back on that and just tell you, if Cleveland comes around to Terry Fontenot and says, hey, we'll pay $5 million of his salary next year, aren't you saying yeah? Like, aren't you saying, like, but, if y'all can talk him into it, yeah, go ahead?
But here's the deal. Why would you do that? His cap hit is going to be 40 for you. His base is $27.5 million. If you trade him, you're not paying his base salary. You're only paying the guaranteed money that is owed to him. So Cleveland would have to pay the $27.5 million. Why would you pay $22 million of it when you could say, well, we've already allotted it for us. We're already got a cap. The cap hit, the dead cap would be $65 million if you did that, unless you did it after June 1st. So there's no reason to trade him unless you do it after June 1st. And I'm not paying any of his contract because now I'm paying $70 million cap hit for him.
Well,
not doing that.
My point is if you can save any money by trading him, you're going to do it.
But you're not saving money paying him to go play somewhere else like that.
But the next part of that is I don't know if I'm Kirk Cousins. Do I want to waive my no trade clause to go play in Cleveland? Like, is that really what I want to do? I want to my family's here. We've kind of settled in. I don't mind being part of this organization.
So, well, then who else? I mean, the another point he makes in here is basically Derek Carr going to the Colts. So, okay, let's say Derek Carr possibly leaves to go to the Colts.
That just makes some sense.
I know. I'm just telling you what the article says. But if that were to happen, then could Cousins end up in New Orleans?
Well, no. I know, with the money. So here's the deal. If you trade him before June 1st.
I mean, I'm just thinking about what's open, right? Because the Jets need a quarterback.
Yes.
And if that scenario happened, then you could say the Saints would need a quarterback. Who else is on in the market for the Browns, obviously, in the market for a quarterback.
Here's the deal.
Well, I guess they have to be.
If you trade him before June 1st, your dead cap is $37.5 million. You save $2.5 million. There's no way in hell I'm paying $5 million of that and eating. Now I'm in a deficit. Now I'm in the red for $2.5 million when I could have been in the black for $2.5 million. If you trade him after June 1st, your dead cap would be $12.5 million this year, $25 million next year, and you save $27.5 million this year. I'm not trading him to New Orleans, and I'm not cutting him and allowing him to go to New Orleans and taking. And if I do, it's going to be after June 1st where I save money. Actually, you don't save any money. You basically break even this year and then because you'd pay $40 million. That is bad. That is bad general managing is what that is.
Well, New York needs a quarterback, right?
Well, I was going to say, since it's Which One Wednesday, let's just throw this out there. If you had to guess right now, both of y'all, is he going to be the backup quarterback for the Falcons next year?
If I had to guess right now, I'd say yes.
I would too.
And the way it looks right now, I would say yes.
The way you broke it down, then yes, I would say yes. Also, just touching on the fact, too, that from what we know about him, he's a competitor. So I know our minds are already thinking this job is Michael Penix's job, but that's probably not what's going through Kirk Cousins' head if he's going to stay here.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think he's a competitor, too, but I don't know that he's willing to just do whatever he has to do to go start week one next year. Like, that just he doesn't strike me as that guy. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's like, no, I still have something left in the tank. He's older. He's made a lot of money. He just doesn't strike me as a guy that's willing to waive his no-trade clause for anybody and go into any situation. I don't see that happening.
I don't know what the best situation would be out there. I don't know if you want to go to the Giants. I would say the Jets would be the most appealing thing based at least on Aaron Glenn and him coming in. And what was that headline I told you? It was like new green energy.
Yeah, I love it.
What they put it as. But, I don't know. The teams that need one, I don't know what you guys would deem probably the sexier place to land if you're going to try to waive your no trade clause.
There's just a number of guys that you wonder, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is that guy, Kirk Cousins is the guy. Like, what's the landing spot and how bad do they want to play next year and be a starting quarterback week one?
I would think Kirk Cousins has more of an upside than Aaron Rodgers does. But I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Based on what we saw at the beginning, if we're taking that first part of the season.
If you get early Kirk Cousins, yes, because I think he's a better locker room guy as far as uniting the locker room and fits in with the entirety and doesn't come in and kind of make demands. But I think Aaron Rodgers, to me, looked like he had probably a little bit more physically at the end of the year than Kirk Cousins definitely showed. But if I'm Kirk, I'm not going anywhere that's not a contender. I just assume sit at home, make my money, and be around my family and be on a team that I think could be a contender. And I've got a chance to maybe get in and play if something, you know, I don't want to speak anything out there, but, you know, you're a snap away from being on the field on a contender in a good situation, an organization you like, as opposed to going to Cleveland and being that blank show.
Yeah, I agree.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. When we come back here on the morning shift, we've got a Which One Wednesday for Mic'd Up. Stay with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on the morning shift, and come hang out with 92.9 The Game, Andy Bunker, and Michelob Ultra for an Atlanta Hawks watch party as they take on the Indiana Pacers on Saturday, February 1st at 4:30. And this is going down at McCrae's Tavern in Smyrna. So you can hang out with the Hawks dancers and flight crew. You can enter to win a gift card to the Hawks shop or other prizes. And the first 100 fans will get a free Michelob Ultra. That's Saturday, February 1st at 4:30 at McCrae's Tavern in Smyrna. Sponsored by Michelob Ultra. Must be 21 or older, and please drink responsibly. For more info, visit hawks.com/bar network. All right. Speaking of the Hawks, tough break for them. They've been depleted these last couple of games, and injuries kind of taking their toll with the team. They could not overcome the Rockets. They fell 100-96 last night. That is their sixth straight loss.
Just frustrating to watch this team right now. Injuries starting to pile up. It's just, again, we talked about it earlier. Bogey's out for personal reasons. Clint Capella's on the bench. There's just quote unquote injuries that keep popping up. You wonder if this, you know, has anything to do with the trade deadline that's coming up. Again, there was a good Rockets team last night. You're able to cover even with the garbage time layup right there at the end, but you thought you had a chance to maybe go win it. DeAndre Hunter puts up a shot right there. You know, inside of 20 seconds, the ball goes in and out, bounces over the backboard. You don't even have a chance to put it back. And then, you know, you can't get any kind of stop, but this team is just, it's in a spiral, man. Six in a row, like you said. Something's got to bring it to a halt.
I mean, it feels like this is December of last year. I know you think it's different because they're playing better defensively, and I don't disagree that it's felt different all year, but here we are, all banged up and battered, six-game losing streak. We went from, like, the four seed to, I mean, I have to double-check, but you're way down in the play-in. You're the nine now. We don't know when Jalen Johnson is going to come back. I mean,
you feel like you just got off the roller coaster, and now you're throwing up. I guess is basketball the most roller coaster like or up and down sport? Just because given the amount of games and the stretches that you can go on, because you were feeling so good going into the season, And now you're.
I told you guys both I was ready to be hurt again. I'm ready to be hurt again. And I think that, look, that's just what we are as fans. That's what most fans are. Now I'm being hurt. And I do think it's different than last year. I don't think that you can look at this team. Last year, we wondered about chemistry. Last year, we wondered about the future of this team. I don't think anybody would argue that the future's not bright.
Well, because
the future is bright at this point.
But it's injuries, at least right now during this stretch.
It was injuries last year that made you that. I do. The chemistry conversation is real because of the Jante Murray, Trae Young dynamic that really wasn't a good one. But the reality is, I think Day-Day said it the other day, it's the curse of Dominique Wilkins. That's like every year. Right. It's the curse of Neek, man. I mean, because think about it. The year we make it to the conference final game and what the 14-15 season, then you get like multiple players injured in the first game and you get swept by the Cavs. The year you make it in 21, Trae Young rolls his ankle, and was it game one or two, or was it game three? I think it was game. Was
I think it was like game four.
No, it was game three.
Game three? Okay.
Yeah, it was the first game at home on that Friday night. I remember.
You're right, yeah.
And then you're 1-1 in that series, if I'm not mistaken.
To me, that one, just real quick, that one hurts even more because I really think the Hawks could have won that series. How well they were playing, all the momentum they had, they could have. I never thought they were going to beat the Cavs back in 14-15, but I felt like they could have beat the Bucks. And they make it to the finals and play the Suns, you never know.
I think they could competed with the Suns. So it just feels like snake bitten, and I hate it because I want to see the Hawks do something so badly. I mean, it does hurt. You're right, it hurts.
Well, speaking of snake bitten, I ended Bo's which one streak last week, Tiff. So let's see if you can hold up that end of the
fourth. Controversial judging.
Just a quick update on the NASCAR driver bracket. I hate to do this, but I had to move along Ryan Blaney today. He beats Ryan Preece as another first-round bracket matchup. Ryan Blaney moves on in my driver bracket. You can follow that on socials as we build up to the NASCAR season that is very, very close. It's coming 2.5 weeks till the Daytona 500.
Yeah, don't forget the Ambetter Health 400 will be here pretty quickly.
Yeah, 3.5 weeks to the Ambetter Health 400 at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
The weekend of the 21st through the 23rd. I think we might be doing a Saturday show down there.
Nice.
I'm excited, obviously, because NASCAR is back. And NASCAR really is really fun the first couple of weeks. Now what we do it because you're in Daytona, you got Super Speedway racing. And then Tiff, I know you love super speedway racing. Then you come back, and you get it here at Atlanta, and it's very similar because a lot of action, a lot of cars are really tight. There's three wide. It kind of gets my juices flowing.
I'll be going to Bowman Gray Stadium over at Winston-Salem State this weekend to be able to check that race out. Let's stay right there. It was announced earlier today that Big Boy will drive the pace car for the Ambetter Health 400. Big Boy will drive the pace car for Ambetter Health 400. Big Boy is driving a pace car, not a race car. But let me ask you guys this. Would you rather bungee jump?
Hold up. Wait a minute.
Oh, no.
Would you rather?
Wait. That's the sound of a swap going down. Since you said that Dylan's judging was questionable, is that the word you use?
No, Dylan didn't judge. It was Day-Day.
Day-Day judged?
Yeah.
But
Dylan's going to play against you.
Because my judgment has been in question before.
And I am going to judge for him.
Oh, that sounds like it's going to be another controversial judging day then.
So continue, Mike.
I wish I'd have known that before I wrote these questions because I definitely made this a Tiffany version. All right, let's pivot here. How about this? Let's stay right there. How about this? Would you rather drive a race car full speed or would you rather go bungee jumping? Full speed driving a race car or go bungee jumping? Dylan, we'll start with you.
I would rather go bungee jumping. I feel like there is less error that I can have on my part. I feel like driving a race car full speed, I feel like that'd just be dangerous for me. I feel like there'd be too much that I would just be too out of control, and I feel like too many things can go wrong. Me driving a full speed race car, then things that can go wrong, me bungee jumping. So I'll take the bungee jumping.
Well, clearly I'm going opposite, and I would say race car full speed for many reasons. For one, that's what I've always wanted to do. B, I mean, I practice daily on the simulator, so I'm very prepared. But C, and probably the most important, I am not putting my life in the hands of someone else's fault. I'll do it myself. If I'm going to go out, it's going to be my hair on fire, going 190 miles an hour, hitting full speed into that wall, not because some clown didn't check the bungee
and
my head bounced against the bridge, and boom, I'm out.
The guy does bungees all the time. You don't drive race cars all the time. Let's go with this one. Have you guys have you seen the new show Extracted that's coming out on Fox? You guys seen the trailer for this? Extracted. Have you ever seen the show Alone, where you compete to be the last one in the wilderness? You don't know how long the other ones are going to be.
Kind of like Naked and Afraid?
Right. It's
or
like, but you're alone
like
by
Survivor.
Yourself. You go 120 days or whatever, however long you have to go till the other person taps out. All right, so there's a new show called Extracted coming out, where it's a very similar thing, but you can't pull yourself out. You have two family members back at a headquarters watching you, and they have to be the ones that will pull you out. So they are making the decision for you, and they are actually competing against each other's families to be able to send you supplies. So my question would be, which one of you guys would last longer before being extracted? Now remember, it's not you doing it, it's your family. All right, so it would be, you know, Amy against Simone, or you know, Dylan's mom against Mrs. Billy. You don't ever know. So which one of you would actually last longer in said competition?
My pride wants to say I would last longer, but my mom, just like I'm sure Mrs. Billy, mom would be very much worried, except my mom knows I do not camp. I am very much a tech savvy, like, not bougie, but like I'm not used to the wilderness like that. Like I've been camping all of like twice in my entire life, and Simone be like, "Yeah, he's not about that life." So Simone would probably pull me out first before my mom, to if we're being quite honest. But
Simone wouldn't even let you go on the show.
Exactly.
Like, what are we doing here?
Pride aside, I honestly would think Squid Billy will last longer. I'm just gonna put that out there. I'm gonna tell my truth.
Yeah, I believe your truth too. Definitely me. I would use my father-in-law and my dad. Because my dad is, you know, he's very critical thinking. He kind of stays calm. He does everything safe. My father-in-law is a little bit opposite of that, where he's a little bit more hair on fire, but also he's got that little bit of survivalist theory already in him. I'm pretty sure, like, he probably has a stockpile of, like, army food somewhere.
There's an MREs.
So, yeah. So he's, you know, that's where my four-wheelers is at. I just know that between the two of them, I'd probably be very well for survival.
Right now, like, you guys are tied.
Like, I would legit have to, like, YouTube, before I go on the show, YouTube, like, how to start a fire. Like,
I don't know.
I would have to do that.
Bo just had to opt out of using Amy, though, so I don't know if that counts one.
I didn't opt out. I just went with my best choices.
I don't know that you get to choose.
I was about to say,
right,
do you get to choose?
Well, you said family. You didn't say it had to be your spouse or, you know, mom. You said family. Right. And family covers father-in-laws, mother-in-laws, mothers, fathers,
okay,
sisters, brothers,
right, well, you.
Cousins, cousins, cousins.
Cool.
Great aunts,
yesterday I missed the show. I had a 24-hour stomach bug. All right, was not able to make it in. So my question to you is, which one would you rather have? All right, would you rather go through a day knowing you're going to stub your toe every hour, your cold toe, no socks on, go through a day knowing you're going to stub your cold feet once an hour, or knowing you're going to have a 24-hour stomach bug that's coming at any minute? Would you rather go through a day knowing that once per hour you're going to stub your cold feet, or just take on that 24-hour stomach bug?
Well, I'm going to take on the stomach bug, and let me tell you why. Because it's doing two things. Not only and I'm cleansing my system, but I'm doing a weight loss system there as well. So I'm probably going to be down a couple pounds. I'm going to come back feeling fresh, weighing in lighter, hitting ready to go. That toe eventually is going to have some consequences and repercussions to it, and you're not going to like it because you ain't going to be walking right for days. You'll be over that stomach bug in maybe one to two.
You got to be the only guy that would say, I'm coming back from a stomach bug refreshed.
Yeah,
I can tell you right now, I'm not refreshed.
Absolutely
I'm
not.
Extremely dehydrated.
Well, I mean, Mike, I wouldn't just miss work for a stomach bug either, but, you know.
Mike just told me how dehydrated it was. Look, you think you're going to be walking bad for days? You're going to be walking slow for some days because you are dehydrated, because your stomach is still on edge. You won't be able to eat right for at least the next day or so. So there are definitely repercussions. You ain't coming back refreshed after a 24-hour stomach bug.
Yeah.
I'm taking
this. Tell me that when you're dragging your foot around, Dylan.
I'd rather stub my toe. He didn't say how bad you stub your toe. He didn't say you're breaking your
feet
foot.
Feet aren't cold, though.
I'm fine with that. Mama ain't raised no wuss. I'll stub my toe.
You just said you couldn't make it a day in the woods, but you're going to stub a cold toe 24 times?
I stubbed my toe before. Stubbing your toe ain't that bad.
We need one more question.
I'll tell you what.
Real fast.
Are you more likely to watch the Senior Bowl or the Pro Bowl games this weekend? More likely to watch the Senior Bowl or the Pro Bowl games? Bo, we go first with you.
I openly admitted that I only watched Senior Bowl practice. I haven't watched a Senior Bowl game in like 5 years. But I would watch that 24/7, 365 days before I would ever watch the whatever the Pro Bowl activities are. Senior Bowl all day. This actual football. These guys are actually trying. They're actually playing. They have something on
Wrap
the line.
It up.
There
Dylan,
is nothing on the line in the Pro Bowl.
What do you think, Dylan? I don't know. Bijan running through some of those drills. That sounds kind of cool.
So, does this quick question? Does this encompass the like Saturday night activities?
Yeah,
of the Pro Bowl,
the whole bit. Yeah.
Oh, I'm watching the Pro Bowl. Give me the Pro Bowl. I want to see. I would love to see these guys out of their like in their like. Happy and comfortable, but like out of their comfort zone, playing dodgeball, like seeing their personality and getting them see to show off a little bit other athletic abilities. But you know, with the Saturday activities, then flag football is still fun. Like there's still professional athletes playing flag football. Yeah. And by the way, ding, this could be a sign of things to come. This Pro Bowl games with the flag football coming to the Olympics. Just saying.
It's the answer of someone that streams himself playing Mario Kart.
I don't know that was a personal shot. But I think you might have made a good point right there at the end.
Dang it. This
might have made a good point at the end.
This was tied, but I'm sorry to break the news to you.
Oh, there's no way that I know you're
You had me with the stomach bug. And you also had me with the bungee jumping and taking the race car thing because you'd rather be in control. But Dylan ticking the Pro Bowl.
So one
adding
answer?
In, wait, you were tied. For me, the Pro Bowl seems to have sent it over the edge because why would you not want to be there in a sunny place, taking part of all the festivities, not in Mobile, no offense to Mobile, Alabama.
Tell me where the Pro Bowl is this year.
I don't know, but it's not in Mobile. Where is it, Dylan? You know where the Pro Bowl is this year?
Thank you.
Mobile
Thank
is
you.
Very close to my hometown, is by Hawaii? The way.
No, the Pro Bowl is Orlando.
Orlando again?
Orlando, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, let me tell you something. Mobile and Orlando, I mean, that's like...
Right, well, you lost. So, hey...
You got Disney World in Orlando. I have that in Mobile.
That's like bad eggs or bad milk. Which one would you rather eat? I mean, I don't want either. I don't want either. You can keep Orlando.
Nope.
You could give us your thoughts on the wake-up call, or you can give us your thoughts on maybe a potential pass rusher that the Falcons could select in the draft. We discussed three of them here on the morning shift when we had Charles Davis on with us. So, yeah, take your pick. Give us a shout, 404-726-0929. Wake up calls next in the morning shift from Sports Radio 99 The Game.